What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Again, we're going to be breaking down some information regarding the Nancy Guthrie case. Is it new information? No, we don't have new information. We're tracking all the different lines of evidence that exist and reminding folks about, of course, that evidence because it's been so long, everyone. We are almost 90 days into this case, almost 3 months. It's really disheartening to know how far down the road we are on this case. Nothing breaking yet. I always say, though, when Brian Koberger was being looked at surreptitiously by the FBI and law enforcement, nobody knew about it either until that case broke at the very end. I understand that was only about 5 weeks into that case, but nevertheless, we never know what might be happening behind the scenes, but I can tell you we know enough to understand at least the roads they're looking down, and that's what I wanted to discuss today. So one of the things nobody is really talking about much is the vehicle situation. And the reason I want to bring this up again, and let me get this up, specifically the couple of situations I'm talking about, is I want to talk about the vehicle that was seen passing in the very early morning hours at about 2:36 in the morning when Nancy Guthrie was abducted. And it's kind of interesting because, of course, many people, it's kind of like the hair. I'll equate it to that, the hair that's been found in Nancy's house that we were fortunate enough to hear from Dr. Fitzpatrick yesterday for her to sort of discuss what the analysis would look like with that hair and what that could mean for the investigation, but also the important point to notice or that she pointed out for us to notice is that while it's pure, meaning touch can be mixed with other people's touch DNA and be very confusing, and they don't have the technology yet to subdivide out three profiles, so that's a big issue. But with a hair, you have it right there. She described about an inch of the snip that you need to use. So it doesn't matter whether you have long hair or short hair. It's going to be that same DNA apparently throughout this hair that would be analyzed. And so from that standpoint, it's great because that hair, they're going to be able to rule out other people that would belong to that hair potentially. But she also pointed out, and I thought this was really important, that for IgG to work, since we know they're not in CODIS, that would, or at least our understanding is they're not in CODIS, for that to work, somebody from their family would have had to use 23andMe or Ancestry.com or one of those sites. And it depends on how far out of a relation that they would be for that to work. Does that make sense? So she said, if it's a first cousin, if it's a sister, a brother, obviously a mother, a dad, something like that, that they're able to get from one of those public databases, or those, they're not public, they're actually private databases, but they could get those with a warrant, that could be very useful. I'm going to equate this car to that hair. That's why I'm going in this much detail, because I believe that the car is in the place, in the right place at the right time. Let's see if I can get this added up to the stage. The right time is definitely, this was seen at 2:36 a.m. In the morning. We know at 2:28 a.m. was when her Apple Watch disconnected from her pacemaker. And so the timing would work out really well. This is about 2.5 miles away. I want to show you on a map where this would be again, so you can kind of look at it. Still quite a distance, everyone. Again, at that time of night, it is completely a blackout, especially if they were smart enough to drive with lights off. The reason it would be smart to go with your lights off, yes, a little bit dangerous, but the reason it would be totally smart, obviously, would be because you wouldn't be able to be detected by people's Ring cameras and people's Nest cameras. You would just, it would just look like you wouldn't see it at all. In this picture, though, however, we see that lights were deployed. And there's been a lot of guesswork as to what this is, but basically a lot of people believe it's a Kia Soul or something similar. Law enforcement has not said. So I think it is a very interesting car, but I want to remind everybody what Sheriff Nano said about this car. Take a look. I took a quote. This was from NBC Los Angeles, but I actually heard this with my own ears as to what he said. He was kind of irritated about the whole thing. I'm going to read the whole thing so you don't, so you see that I didn't just take a quote out of context. This is what he says about that very specifically. He says, a Ring camera captured, I'm going to give you the background and then I'll give you what he says. A Ring camera captured a vehicle around 2:30 a.m. on February 1st, about 2.5 miles from Nancy's house in Tucson, moments after her abduction, right? So let me bring this back up so you can see this. This is about 2.5 miles, so you can see the scale here. This is a News Nation graphic, by the way. The video shows a potential vehicle, right? Thought to be a Kia Soul or something very similar. This is the interesting thing. This would be back roads that were used, which makes a lot of sense with this case. You know, if these individuals did a good job of surreptitiously getting in and out, I think that's very clear by the fact that we still have no vehicle that police have identified that they need our help with. Further, and I want to get this again, that home, when that was seen, just to give you the exact time, and we do have that stamp on there, it specifically says 2:36 a.m. If I said 2:38 earlier, apologize, it's 2:36 a.m. Noting again that nobody has identified the car or that it's even significant. And so what Sheriff Nano says after that is he essentially says, when he's asked about this vehicle, that with the details I just gave you, he essentially says, listen, and I'll put this back up. This is his quote. We are looking at hundreds of thousands of other vehicles that were driving at that time. Now, when I first heard him say this, you know, obviously I was a bit put aback because I thought, hundreds of thousands? At 2:30 in the morning in this desolate desert type area that's largely residential, that is largely individuals who have retired there, the foothills area. Look, you can go to any area other than New York or Vegas or a major city, and you are not going to see a bunch of people out at night. Right? You are just not going to see that. So from that point of view, it doesn't make sense to me that they're looking at hundreds of thousands of vehicles. You know, we've talked about this some, but I just want to bring up a couple of things from an investigative lens, what you would do. You would look at each of the choke points in and out of this neighborhood. And we know it was pretty much a bit of a labyrinth. You know, where you could go and then take this road and take that road. And finally, you could exit out of the neighborhood, right? So when you consider everything like that, there's a lot of different roads and a lot of different avenues that could be taken. I followed one that a YouTuber followed because I thought it was very interesting that in about 22 minutes, you could weave in and out. And I think I counted around 3 or 4 possible places where cameras could be and just a few lights. There's not even street lights out here. So again, these are some of the obstacles that law enforcement is having to deal with right now in terms of following this person. But I just find it unreasonable to think there are literally hundreds of thousands of vehicles that were driving at that time of the day or night in this area, because that's what you're checking. You're only checking the reasonable time between the time it disconnected, and you could give it probably, you know, a half an hour or so, but that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that reasonable time frame between 2:28 when it disconnected, and then in and around that area, every single choke point. This should also be aided, by the way, with cell tower coverage. In other words, looking at possible geofencing techniques that could be used. I've talked about the fact that I believe he had a handheld radio with him, porch guy. And that could only mean that there's somebody else involved. Whether he exited the house solo with her, that I think is very possible, judging by the fact that it seems that if there were multiple people, that blood would have been trampled in along. So for this reason, I think it would have been just Nancy and likely porch guy. And then somebody was called either to come pick them up or otherwise assisted with the abduction and exited through the back and came around. But I just believe that somebody else is involved in this. I don't believe it's a single situation, and that's based on more on experience. Could be wrong. This could be just porch guy. Look, one of the people I admire most in this business, Mac Cheryl McCollum, she thinks it's a lone predator, a lone crazed Hinckley. That's the person that attempted to kill Reagan because of his love of Jodie Foster. That type of person that was seeking either some sort of retribution, had some sort of horrible grudge against either Savannah or Nancy, and thus perpetrated this crime. I really do believe in large part all that I said right there. I think Cheryl and I agree almost 100% on everything with this case, other than I truly believe that things went wrong and they were hoping for money. She died. That went wrong. I think the ransom demand notes are bogus, and that was strictly to hurt the family. There's no part of me that thinks, because I think at that point she was already deceased, no part of me that thinks those ransom demand notes were real. Again, we've talked about this. They went to the media. They went to TMZ when there wasn't enough local media play. So I just want to be clear on that. While I think that they aren't real per se, we know the Bitcoin address is real. We know about $300 was put in there to just make sure a transfer could be made. And I will always believe, even though I always say reasonable minds differ. In other words, I can have a view and another FBI agent can have a different view. I will always think that the billboards, and again, this is going to be the responsibility of the Bureau, that they should change this billboard. I thought they told me about 23. I could be wrong when I talked to that vice president of the company, but it should have Porch Guy's face on it. 100%. Nancy was never seen again. Porch Guy could have been seen, or was seen. I mean, unless he was killed. Unless he was killed, because he was caught on camera. And if anybody else is behind this, that you just have to consider all possibilities. So say it's not the situation that Cheryl believes, which is just the lone actor, but whether it's a situation where more than one is involved in this abduction, and he is, you just have to consider that somebody would want to off him, that could be possible. Because just think of all the information he would have and the fact that his face is out there. Still doesn't explain why no one that would recognize this face hasn't come forward, except for out of absolute fear. We discussed all of that in length I'm just touching on it to say that reasonable FBI agents can differ about what this billboard should look like and also whether anything should be done, as I call it, tickling the wire with the Bitcoin. I've already talked about how millions and millions of dollars have been and will be spent on this investigation, this lab work. The Bureau is now doing at least the hair, according to reports. We've also seen the FBI talk about that in a written statement, which I posted right away the day it came out, that they had been asking for this evidence, that they have advanced technology and just finally got it. They seemed very irritated, quite frankly, in that statement. And I'm happy to post that in the future. But the bottom line is FBI agents can differ on that. And perhaps the reason they're staying on course and they don't want to, they're not ready for any sort of Hail Mary yet. But we spoke with a Bitcoin expert and it can be traced. It's just difficult. And there's multiple cases that, you know, I've cited where cases have been solved and money's recovered and people identified in cases. But nevertheless, they do have this, not just this car, but I'm wondering what other vehicles are out there. Do I think there's hundreds of thousands? No, I don't even think there's close to that during this time frame. I don't know how many there are, but I would believe it's a very small number at 2:30-ish in the morning on February 1st. That's my belief. So you check all the Ring and Nest cameras at these choke points. Again, if they were smart enough not to turn their lights on, because there's no street lights anywhere. If they were smart enough to do that, it's going to be really difficult to even identify different vehicles that would have gone by. But nevertheless, I just wanted to remind everybody that this, I think, still, not just this car, but other vehicles that might have been seen in that close, close proximity on that morning during those very odd hours, I think those are still being looked at closely. You can see, though, if this is all you have, you don't have a license plate, there are vehicle experts, literally in the laboratory. That's all they do. There are so many experts. There's card experts. There's car experts, blood spatter experts. There's every kind of expert you can imagine. And in fact, when you get into the Bureau, this is kind of an interesting thing you might not know, but you have to point out what you are or sort of consider yourself an expert as so that they can use you in different capacities. For instance, I'm an avid snow skier and an avid tennis player. And I'm going to point out where this came into play with the Bureau, and an avid horseback rider. So those three things are things that are not really unusual, but available if needed. So there was one security detail where the protectee was going on a ski vacation and they needed people that could ski. There was a change of plans. And as I recall, the wife didn't go or something like that, but I was on standby for that to protect the wife if that would have been what happened. There was another case where they needed an undercover in New York, actually, that was an avid tennis player. So in that case, I was called. They ended up taking a different direction with that case, but I was on standby for that to go in as a tennis player, because it's not hard for me to fake being a tennis player. And believe me, this was before my face and everything was splashed all over the place. Anyway, that's what they use it for. And the lab is very similar. There are absolute car experts that can take the details, the moldings, the bumpers, the windshield configurations, the rear view mirror configurations, and tell you what kind of car this is. This is what they do. So it's much more than somebody like me as an agent. They know all the agents, what we're good at, that sort of has nothing to do with being an agent, so that they have this resource pool that they can pull on. But in this case, these lab experts are unbelievable experts, gambling experts, people that know everything there is to know about gambling. You wouldn't believe all the experts we have. So then you're working a gambling case, you need a dealer, call up to lab, get that dealer out there, or an agent maybe that was a dealer before they ever became an agent, you know, when they were younger or something. So in this case, you guys might remember from the Idaho 4 case, they identified just from that going by, they identified the vehicle used in that as a Hyundai Elantra. Where there was an issue there is they had it identified in a 2-year time frame, and that expert from the lab had to go and say, listen, I made a mistake. It actually could be, and I think he added 2 more years and made it the 4-year time frame, because he realized even though the patterns of what that vehicle looked like, he looked at others in later years and realized, oh yeah, by the way, it could be these two. And of course, I think that that looked bad, because I believe that happened after they had identified Brian Koberger, that he had a Hyundai Elantra, and it, I believe it was a 2015, and he limited his to 11 to 13, something like that. And he had to go back and say, mea culpa, listen, I should have been more inclusive from what I saw. So experts are definitely not perfect, but he sure did identify the right car and was within 2 years of the vehicle. Nevertheless, it's difficult, but there are experts. But this one, you know, and I've seen everything online, people identifying it as the Kia Soul, and that could be true. I just don't have confirmation from anyone in law enforcement that that's what it is. And actually, moreover, like I said, and you'd have to watch the interview. This is just the snippet. I probably should have pulled this interview up of Sheriff Nanos, but he basically really blows this off. Yeah, we've got hundreds of thousands of other vehicles that were out there driving that night too. We're looking at it. That's what he basically says. You know, we're looking at it. I think it's more important than that. But maybe they were in very short order able to dismiss it as being important at all. People work that time of night. People are out. It would have been a Sunday morning. So people are out Saturday night, late at night, bars closed down. They stop working. They're out partying. Like I said, shift work. You're at a girlfriend's house and then you need to get home and get changed for the next day. It doesn't have to be just partying, but you can imagine that there would be travel during this time. I'm just saying, in these residential neighborhoods, I think it would be a very low number. I never ever saw where they completely dismissed this car, only that Sheriff Nano says, yeah, we're looking at hundreds of thousands. So it's really seemingly not that important, was his point. Again, this is a pretty broad area here in the Catalina foothills where that vehicle was seen. 2.5 miles is actually a long way. I really challenge each of you, if you're curious about that, see how long it takes you to go 2.5 miles. It can take literally 15, 20 minutes, depending on various things. And I want to really quick thank LJ. I really appreciate it, LJ. And I love the dog. We've had a lot of cats on here, and now we have an orca whale. Thank you, Christy Russell. I appreciate it. Listen, I appreciate you all being here. Because I know individuals are, some are tiring of this case. I understand that. I get, you know, I see and read different things. And so I understand, but we're going to stay on it. We're going to stay on it. I want to keep the facts out there. I just don't want this to become another Sebastian Rogers case. I don't want another Sebastian Rogers case. So I'm going to do my part. We're also going to discuss other cases, but when I do a show on Nancy Guthrie, because I believe so many people are still interested in Nancy Guthrie, we wonder how an 84-year-old woman can be snatched from her bed and almost We are just under 3 months in, 90 days. How the FBI, the full force of the FBI, you know, how law enforcement and the FBI have not solved this. I mean, this is really becoming a bit of a modern day whodunit, but I would argue that investigation takes time. It really does. It takes a long time. The DNA is going to take a long time. This surveillance, oh, I wanted to talk about this with the cars. I wanted to let you all know what is happening with this. So from a more FBI point of view, you have all of these analysts. There are very few agents in the FBI. At any one time, 10,000, maybe at the most, 15,000, usually hovers around 12,000. Kash Patel got rid of a ton. I don't know the exact numbers on this particular day or if the FBI has released it recently, but let's just run with a round number of 12,000 because I think that that's pretty accurate. For every agent, there's about three support personnel. That's what we called them. Support, meaning you have secretaries. We used to have stenographers, which I loved, but they got rid of that in about 1999, much to my dismay. You have file clerks. You have what we call AIAs, which are these analysts, investigative analysts, and they actually now go to Quantico. They used to be investigative assistants that would do everything from, hey, I need something from the courthouse, and they would go get that for you, or hey, can you serve this or do this, and they would do it. It was great. Can you look up this in our databases? And you would fill out a little form, and the next morning, everything would be on your desk. They're great. Their role really expanded after 9/11. And after 9/11, they go to Quantico. I think they're there maybe 90 days, or not 90, I'm so sorry, 30 days around there to train. Maybe it's only 2 weeks. I can't remember, but at least they go there to train. They have a much broader and greater role in terms of doing more evaluation. So when you look at who's really analyzing this, this is not those task force agents. That's my belief, that from 25 years in the Bureau, there are analysts that are looking. They literally are sitting at their computer and minute by minute watching the various Nest, Ring, business, traffic cameras that came in with vehicles, or not with vehicles. They're just watching them from probably about 2:28 in the morning, going for a half an hour or more, depending on how far away the camera is. Obviously, if the camera is really close and they were able to capture something, that time frame is going to be lessened. But nevertheless, this is what they're doing, staring at a screen and watching second by second. They can barely blink. They've got it for sure in a slower mo, which is taking, can you imagine the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of man hours? I just wanted everybody to understand that it's not FBI agents that are looking at this. Certainly, if an IA finds something, an analyst, they are calling that FBI case agent or one of the people assigned to the cases. According to ABC, we know there are 24 people who are still working this case. That includes Pima County, combined with some task force officers. Again, these task forces are between 30 and 50 people. They're working lots of cases. The Bureau can't shut down, which is something I had mentioned earlier. The Bureau can't shut down. There are other very important cases, but you can bet they are still going to continue. This is still a priority for them. And quite frankly, it's a bad look right now for them, right? It's just a bad look. I love the Bureau. I bleed blue, but it's been disheartening after 90 days. And, you know, we've had on Dale Lundberg, and I've invited him back. So he's going to come back on soon. Our resident veteran homicide detective from Dallas. He's so great. He's just calls it like he sees it, like Cheryl. I want to have both of them on. Would you guys love that? Have both Cheryl and Dale on. Oh, I think they could just jabber all day about this case. But
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nevertheless, you know, we've got a picture, got the mustache. But anyway, it has not been solved, and I'm not trying to blame the Bureau. I am truly trying to explain that a lot of these processes just take a very long time. And as I said, something nobody's been recently talking about is this vehicle, not just this vehicle. This vehicle to me is like the hair. Possible. But it's not a shoo-in that hair is going to be important because hairs are transient. Anybody in there could have had a hair. But as Dale Lemberg says, I love it when he says this. He says there's sometimes in his cases, and he talked about how many went unsolved. It was a really low percentage. He said sometimes the God factor came in. And that's when you think a case is over, you think you have just no way it's not going to be able to be done, and some miracle happens. And so we're all hoping that the hair is a miracle. I'm hoping one of these cars can be identified. And I want to talk about another car that people haven't talked about for a very long time. And again, this one is a New York Post illustration, but do you guys remember this? This was on, I believe, within a week, maybe day seven, very early on in the investigation, there was information all about a vehicle of interest that was seen at this gas station. I also wanted to just give you this map as a reminder of the Tommaso and Annie's house versus Nancy's. Why they were easy. This is 4 miles. This is 4 miles between their house and about 10-minute drive. So very, very close that they were able to actually make sure, you know, keep an eye on her. And the reason I point this out again is because the Circle K, we don't know when a car of interest was seen. It's very important, I think, to understand that where Nancy was before she made it home that evening, 9 o'clock or so, she was playing cards or games. I shouldn't say cards. Maybe they were playing a board game at her daughter's house. This is how close they were, people. They were, I mean, that's when you really like and care about somebody, right? You have your parent over. I'm sure some of you have relationships like this with your kids. I can tell you, we see our kids all the time. You're right. It was Mahjong. My favorite days, and it's funny because I was just texting right before I got on with my daughter, and she, her boyfriend, my son, everybody is coming up, not for Mother's Day because she's in law school and she has finals for her second year, but they're coming up the week after. And literally our itinerary is games. We're going to play games, a lot of card games. We're going to do volleyball, beach volleyball. We do it every time we're together. We might play some family tennis. We're going to eat, and we're going to eat well. And we're just going to talk. And to think, and I think this is so beautiful, and I pray someday my kids end up 4 minutes or 4 miles from me. Because that was the relationship that they had from all accounts. There's no account, there's nothing negative at all that's ever come forward concerning Tommaso and Nancy and Annie and Nancy. They loved her. So I just want you to know I'm only bringing this up to show the proximity of this Circle K. And the reason this is all important is because we know Nancy was at Tommaso and Annie's house, right? So this would have been the path that they would have followed. So there was a carve interest very early on. So, and I've always said this, and why they likely looked so, they did all of these neighborhood rechecks. We call them canvases. They were there multiple times, law enforcement. We've talked a lot about that, how a good canvas is done and likely what ended up being done initially in Tommy and Annie's neighborhood. But nevertheless, they went back. My point is that there could have been a vehicle staged. This is a choke point, everyone. This is what I'm talking about, a choke point. When you have to go in and out of it, right? When you have to go in and out of it. So could this be a choke point? And they saw a vehicle that was interesting in and around the time Tommaso drove Nancy back to her house, because this is the path that would have been taken. This is the path that would have been taken. So I bring this up all to say these are the two cars we know about that law enforcement released were vehicles of interest, right? These were vehicles of interest. Are they still? We don't know, but at least we know that they had vehicles of interest. And like I said, the Circle K car, we don't know that it's been dismissed yet, but could somebody have been following and waiting to see when Nancy got there? I think it would be safer, in a sense, to pick her up, if you will. In other words, to begin following from a known location rather than sitting on a location waiting for them to get there. The best case scenario is you have multiple people. So you have people that are in and around Nancy's neighborhood waiting, and then you also have somebody that is at her known location. I'm just telling you that's how the Bureau would do it, right? But we have a lot of resources and a lot of people. We still don't know if it was just porch guy or not. So we don't know why or how she knew for sure she was there that night. So remember, it's not a situation where you would just necessarily know Nancy would be home. Yes, she's an older woman, but you know, she traveled. She saw her daughter. She was not a sedentary person at all. Yes, she had serious trouble walking. Yes, and this is the picture I always like to show, where you can see what a person's arms look like when they are on thinners, when they have pacemakers and they're on blood thinners. You touch that arm, and I tell you, it's going to bleed, because now your vessels, your skin becomes paper thin. She's 84 years old. And that's why you see all this bruising. And I could tell you, my papa, his arms look exactly the same. I will just give him a hug. And if I rub him too wrong with one of my rings or with my bracelet I never take off, I can cause a major bleed. Like, I'm so sorry. He doesn't even know he's bleeding. So this is absolutely the look that somebody would have on these. And I think it also lends itself to talking about the reason for the blood on the porch too. You know, just so very vulnerable for that. So I wanted to, in this segment, really talk about the cars and that's not a dead end. It's taking forever. It's taking forever. They literally, this is what they're looking at. If they have anything, if he didn't turn his lights on, so this is what they're looking at for those that turn their lights on. So I also want to say this, and I love this, that Hill Days brings this up. You know what we know on this case? Nothing compared to what the Bureau knows. We have such a grain of sand in a sandbox compared to what they know. Just a huge, huge difference. They had 100 agents on this. Pima County was on this extensively. for the first 30 plus days, 40 days, until the point that they ended up transferring over back to Phoenix, right? So that's a lot of work. You know, a lot of people ask the night of the shooting, how in 2.5 hours can they tell it's a lone wolf? How do they have him ID'd? How do they? Well, when you have agents from throughout the country that are on this and each one is giving just a little bitty bit of information to follow up on, and you have hundreds of people doing that, the force multiplier of all the individuals that were involved, I'm talking about the shooting the other night at the Hilton concerning President Trump, when all of that happened, you had everybody converging to find out who did this. And so it's not like one person was out there conducting an investigation. It's hundreds of people in conducting the investigation. And that's why 2.5 hours, you have a lot of answers or questions answered. You have a lot of questions answered. From digital evidence, you know, what was on at least part of his phone, you know, his hotel room looked at, they had it. And by the way, that would have required a warrant. That would have required a warrant. But you also have your prosecutors and your judges standing by. So there's so much information. Remember, 50,000 leads, I think, is the last number I've heard. So now you have all of these agents that are actually looking into those leads and gleaning investigative facts from those. Some, most, I'd say 90%, 99 maybe, not helpful. But what you're hoping for is that 1 or 2% that helps crack the case. So anyway, these vehicles, both the one that was seen here, oops, not there. That's a California billboard, by the way. And they're in Houston, one in Albuquerque, I believe, California, Arizona, and Texas. But sadly, not in and around the Tucson area and not with Porch Guy's face. Again, the Bureau's in charge of doing whatever they want to do on that. So that's where we're at there. But anyway, I think these vehicles, they could crack the case. They could crack the case before the DNA cracks the case. Those Bitcoin addresses, people are working on that still, meaning the emails that sent them and the Bitcoins themselves. I know it's been so long and still no answers, but digital trail, especially something this covert, takes a long time. I've explained why possibly it could never be broken, depending on how well they did them, how well they did it, you know, hid behind VPNs and hid behind foreign email addresses. And if they use public Wi-Fi, how difficult it is to get an IP address. Everyone will stay on it. I still have two simulations I'm going to be doing. I did it on the Celeste Rivas case, and I've got two more to do here. I just have not had the time, plus one I need to get my neighbor to help me with. So in any event, but it's coming at you. I still have the case on Cameron to do, the segment on Cameron, and also the segment on Nancy Guthrie's husband. So we're going to stay focused. And as breaking news happens, obviously we'll do segments on that as well. But for right now, we're staying on Nancy. Everyone, don't give up hope. I really think it will be solved. I gave it 6 months. Maybe I was too optimistic, but I have not given up hope that one of these pathways, I still think the best pathway right now is this one. This face, this mustache. Somebody knows who he is. The question is, do they know that he's done anything wrong? Do they even know about this case? The pizza guy that walked through police cars and lines of social media YouTubers had no idea who Nancy Guthrie's house was, or who Nancy Guthrie was, what had happened to her, and he lives there and delivers pizza and is part of the community. So I'll just always say there's millions of people who have no idea what's going on, which I know it's hard to imagine, but it's true. They don't watch the news. They don't care. They're busy with their kids and their lives. So that could be the case here. Everyone, thanks again for tuning in. And I really appreciate it. I do want to, since we have a little bit of time here, see if I can answer any questions. Starless wrote, there could be no car. I don't think that is true. I know what you're saying, that she could have been taken and into the desert. You know, they could have walked through there and gotten onto a four-wheeler or some other SUV, or not SUV, but all-terrain ATV vehicle. I don't believe that. I think these people were way too smart to risk that. All the cameras in the neighborhoods they would have had to have gone past. Even if she was deceased, you know, walking around with something like that. I know it was really dark, but this is really secluded. It's possible. You can never rule it out per se. I think it was a vehicle. I think that's why they chose to go out the front door. If it would have been that scenario, they could have just gone out the back door. They went out the front door, I believe, because that was in close proximity to the Circle Drive where a vehicle was for them to put her in the trunk. Let's see. So this says, you said it was transferred from Pima County to the FBI after 30 days. No, not after 30 days. Sorry, I was kind of being general. I would have to go back. I did a segment on it. I did a lot of reporting on this when it happened real time, that the federal prosecutors were at the house. News Nation was covering it. I was actually on air at the time. And after that, and I'd have to get that precise date, so just say somewhere between 30 and 60 days, that is when the case moved from Tucson up to the task force. And that has been widely reported. ABC recently reported that at that task force, there's 24 still assigned to it. So widely reported that the case transferred from Tucson up to Phoenix. I believe Nanos, in fact, I can pull that. I've watched so much of him lately, but I believe he even discusses that. So that he's keeping people on it, but it's up in Phoenix now. As far as the FBI being over it per se, hopefully I've explained that well. Sheriff Nanos has venue. The FBI has venue because under the statute, they have joint venue. Because under the statute, if somebody is abducted and not recovered within 24 hours, it's presumed, and that's under subsection B of the kidnapping statute, the federal kidnapping statute, that they have traveled across state lines. However, if it's proven that state lines were not crossed to abduct her, like in Luigi Mangione's case, that's why the Bureau got their foot in that door, right? Luigi traveled to kill the CEO of United Health, Brian Thompson, shoot him in the back, coward. Anyway, sorry, that's how I feel about that. In that case, the FBI also assumed joint jurisdiction with New York because he traveled. If they prove that she was not taken across state lines or across the border, this will squarely fall into Pima County's jurisdiction in terms of adjudication. In other words, who's going to try Porch Guy? It's going to be Pima County unless they could prove state or international lines from Mexico were crossed. That's end of story. So you can see why Pima County is assuming the lead on this. But the Bureau is, they're side by side. They're side by side. Unlike Idaho, even though in that case, state lines were crossed. Brian Koberger went from Washington State into Idaho. And yet, I never understood why the Bureau didn't charge. But they didn't. I think that was a huge mistake. I'll always think that was a huge mistake. I never understood, because the Bureau, we have a death penalty. Obviously, Idaho did too. But nevertheless, those decisions are made at way high levels. Nobody really cares what a retired FBI agent has to say when it comes to who's going to have jurisdiction. But that's why you see Pima County is still in charge, squarely has venue in this case. But that could change. That could change. That's why they're working it hand in hand. And that's why there's a task force. When you have a task force, you have people from lots of different agencies. Typically, in a violent crime task force like they're working, there's almost all the federal agencies, and certainly the local and state agencies are going to be involved. So hopefully I cleared that up in terms of who's in charge. Nanos said, oh gosh, I keep forgetting to pull that, very recently, like last week, I'm in charge. But the Bureau, they're working it side by side. Hopefully that answered the questions. And I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Thank you so much. I appreciate chat. I love looking up when we have a huge chat like this, like we have this morning. And I thank each of you. I know each of you care about this case being solved, and we'll stay on it. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for everyone who is missing.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.